Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 97, Episode 4 of
Der Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. It's Thursday, August 29th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Bigly, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your tweets just cafe-fe me, and I just love your fashy ways. I guess that's why I'm broken. Your social circle's so paid. Ellipses, I'm drunk. That's courtesy of Stringy Magoo, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
MGB cushion down on the hottest loud. I tell your mother, y'all can't taco pound like I do it now. I'm smashing pen and mouse. And if you ain't Tuscan, you simply must go now.
Okay, there wasn't a beat because, truth be told, we're actually in a very secret location today.
Yes.
We're in the hotel suite of our guest, which we'll reveal later. But our guest, who's a very big act, invited us to their hotel room, said, look, I can't make the show, but if you guys come up to my suite,
right,
we can get this thing going. So I don't have the music right now. That's right. My explanation. Now,
that's right.
The credit for the AKA, just TDZ AKA, Strike Gang. Thank you for that one. Thanks to everybody who keeps sending the Missy Elliott AKAs, and we'll have a new challenge for next week tomorrow.
You said it yesterday, man. I hope that misdemeanor stuff isn't true.
Yeah.
She seems like a nice gal.
She's got a bright future ahead of her.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Well, I guess we can reveal it now. We are thrilled to be joined by our third guest, the touring comedian, Mr. Nick Vatterott.
Do I need a song after?
Yes.
No. I could try to do a song.
Okay.
My name's Nick V, and I rock the part. I fart from where I burp. I burp from where I fart.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Yeah, that was sent to me by my mom sent me.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought it was a little immature, but you know.
Hey.
That would be weird if you farted and it was a burp sound. Like you like lifted your leg and started.
That would be grosser than a real fart.
Yeah, I'd be like, what the fuck?
You please just fart normal?
Yeah. No, that was cool that you fart where you're.
Which would be grosser, that or farting out of your mouth?
Yeah.
Well, people already make fart sounds with their mouths.
Right.
So it doesn't.
Yeah, it would
it
be
doesn't
burp
much
from
of a
fart.
Stretch for yeah. me.
Right. But if you could,
it doesn't much of a stretch for me yeah. either.
Just a guttural burp yeah. from your butt would be like, ugh.
Yeah, because there's vocal cords. Like yeah. it implies the presence of vocal cords
and, like,
in
it's
your
cavernous
asshole.
To get yeah. that resonance. Like you have your lungs obviously for a burp, but like. What's that void in your body?
I hope there are still like news junkies who listen to this show.
Yeah, who are just like where did this go?
Jesus, man. What happened to these guys?
It used to be a second rate podcast.
All right.
Yeah, right. I mean, no, you guys we probably want to talk about more serious
no,
stuff,
no,
but let's
no,
really
no,
get
no,
into
let's
the
10 more
dumbest
minutes on
conversation.
Well, these are the things that come up, and we entertain them with these ideas
the
in a very intelligent way.
Out of my ass.
There you go.
All right, Nick, we're going to get to know you a little bit better
oh, good.
In a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about, such as the new Joker trailer. We're going to talk about where the president is at and just how he's thinking about the 2020 election, mm-hmm. the latest polling in the Democratic side of the race, and just all sorts of shit today. Aunt Becky, KFC, all the hits, all the hits. But first, Nick, we like to ask our guests, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I just looked up the edamame. And apparently I've got that and enema confused, and I'm using both wrong.
Oh, man.
It might
that's
be why
be hard
I'm burping
to...
out my...
Yeah. Right.
There it is.
That might be. The etymology of defenestration, which sounds yeah. like a Smashing Pumpkins album.
Yeah. The etymology of defenestration.
I was just thinking about defenestration. Of wondering if it was common knowledge that it was, you know, throwing somebody out a window
right.
or not. It feels like it's always a word that people say when they're trying to impress
smart
somebody
up.
With
yeah.
words. Like if you do an improv show, can I get suggestions? There's always that
defenestrate.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, you've heard of it too. You know, they think right. they're going to just, you know.
Blow your mind.
Yeah.
Perspicacity.
What? Defenestration sounds like it should be, to me... My brain always wants it to be like somebody getting their stomach cut open. Is that
defenestration?
Yeah. I think it's probably because it has like some of the same vowels as evisceration.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it
not.
Seems like it needs to be way more intense than like.
Right.
Well, then, I guess getting thrown out of a window is pretty intense.
Yeah.
Pretty intense. Know,
depending on what the window was.
Was it a Bran Stark type situation?
Right.
Because that could fucking change a lot for you.
Would that even be considered defenestration? Because he was just kind of pushed backwards.
Right.
He was already out of the window.
Yeah, and he was being a creep, to be honest.
I know.
You know?
He was just watching incest porn.
Two brothers just have sex. Like, dude,
right.
get it together, Bran.
That would have been really weird if it cuts to him and he's like, oh, yeah, fucker.
And then afterwards, like Ned Stark's like, what the fuck's going on, man? What were you doing?
Yeah, give it to her, man.
Give it to her, JJ.
As he's falling, too.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Anyway, so what is the etymology of defenestrate?
Well, what's funny is that, like, it seems to... First of all, I thought it'd be, like, this crazy story, because I'd come across this thing called the defenestration of Prague, which apparently in Prague there was these three times defenestration happened, and it was the equivalent of, like, overthrowing some sort of, like, government or higher up, so it seems to be. That's what I got out of it. And I thought, oh, maybe it's off there, Bobby defenestrate. You know, or I don't know if there's Bobby's back then, you know, like
Robert.
Richard, the defenest. It's not because it's such a crazy word. How does it mean that? It's not that crazy. I think defenestrate means window and means push out of or something
or
like that.
De-window you.
Yeah. So it's not as crazy of a story as I was hoping to be. But I just was like looking at like pictures of where apparently the first recorded defenestrations were. And it's interesting. I was like, oh, I guess there wasn't like, it looks like this tower. It's like this 5-story tower in Prague. And I was like, oh, I guess there wasn't tall buildings at one point. And then they finally had the first tall buildings.
They're like, hey, you can die falling out of one of these.
Yeah, and they use it to murder.
Wait a second.
Because a first story defenestration is not, that's just an inconvenience.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
More than
that's called sneaking out of a house when your girlfriend's dad gets home.
Right.
But yeah, full on. I guess that's the other thing. It's like, whoa, gravity, huh?
Yeah.
Like, hey, the higher the window, like, the gnarlier the impact from what I'm seeing.
We could really, Yeah, you could really. And everyone. I was like a 5-story window. It's everyone they pushed out died. I thought. You know. It would just.
It all depends on how you land, I think.
Yeah. I don't think they. Because no one had to fall out of a window before, so no one had to do it right.
Yeah, you gotta roll. You gotta watch some of those parkour videos. Those guys, some of the drops those guys take, I'm pretty impressed with.
Yeah.
They go out of stories?
I don't know if they're full on 5-story in it, but like there's some like gnarly 30-foot drops I see people like roll out of, and you're like, whoa.
That's insane.
My ankles shattered like watching the video, and I'm like,
I wonder if the saying "don't throw the baby out with the bathwater" was just kind of like light advice. Like you don't want to do that because it's inconvenient. You have to go get the baby instead of being like the baby's gonna die.
Yeah, that's
like,
a bad fall.
Yeah, yeah. Now remember, guys, you're not gonna want to. I thought that somebody survived the defenestration of Prague because they landed in horse shit, but that might be a different defenestration.
Maybe. I only read about the first defenestration, and I stopped reading after it.
That's one of my favorite.
I hate sequels, you know, so they're just
they're rarely just as good as the
That's one of my favorite details that we erase from history is that everything was covered in shit, either horse shit or human shit.
Right.
Like, people died from being swept away in rivers of shit back in history, like all the time.
I mean, people, you know, right now, everyone's always like, this is the worst it's ever been. And things are very bad right now.
Right.
But I sometimes think about, it's not just, there's not just shit everywhere.
Right.
That was, I think, a little bit worse.
If you want to brighten your day.
Yeah.
We take yourself back to the dark ages.
Yeah, there were some really terrible times in history.
Similar thinking, but better technology.
Right. What is something you think is overrated?
Boycotts. It's just a new boycott every week now. I was making fun of the Jimmy John's boycott because
there's a Jimmy John's.
Boycott because
what happened now?
Well, some photos surfaced from 1983.
Is that really what it's from?
The elephant one was from 1983.
The big game hunting photo. Right, right. And, that's a Jimmy John's.
And, you know, it's just we're a culture that just digs up, you know, like old things from people. Now, I understand people. I think the big game hunting is stupid, and I think those people are monsters. But I just thought it was. I just thought it was funny. And there's probably been more pictures since then. There's a very weird picture of him like naked humping a shark that he is killed, and it's very, very disturbing.
Yeah, cancel him for that one.
Right. But I just think it's funny that his service is a dead animal store.
Right.
Right. You go and buy dead animals and eat them, and people are like, I'm not.
I've had enough.
Oh, you killed animals? Well, I'm not going to eat your dead animals anymore.
I'm gonna eat your shaved dead animals.
Your deliciously seasoned shaved animal flesh. Yeah, I guess that's the funny thing right now, that Twitter and, you know, cancel culture have, like, created just an onslaught of boycotts. Like, I didn't even know Olive Garden was getting boycotted till yesterday when we were talking about it on the show.
And who's eating an Olive Garden? I want to boycott diarrhea. I want to be like, I heard diarrhea donated to the Republican Party, so I'm no more diarrhea. Hashtag boycott diarrhea. Look, they're boycotting things that, like, you're not even doing. I don't know if the people going in and out and the people going to Equinox are not the same people, you know? People are boycotting Fox News. You're not watching Fox News anyway.
Right. Well, I think that what the pressure needs to be, I think, like, especially with Fox, I think it is good to lean on those advertisers because they're essentially the ones putting the money up to platform, like, this terrible hate speech.
And somebody did pull out of Tucker Carlson, I think, this past week.
Yeah, Dell. Yeah.
So that, I mean, you know, but it's like, it's just, I think it's obnoxious when it's every single thing. And it's also like, you know, they found like, I don't know, if you look at everything is tainted. You know, people are tweeting from their Apple phones that, you know, that's, you know, you're tweeting from a phone or you're using Facebook that donated to, you know, everyone involved in every company seems to have donated to something that you don't like or done something you don't like.
Right.
So you just, if you really, to be like, well, I pick these, I'm going to boycott these and not these other ones. It's sort of like, you got to boycott, you can't do anything.
Like, terribly, you'd be like, the only solution is to completely remove yourself from the capitalist system. But like,
sort of,
but then how do you survive? Like, do you have a fucking, you know, like, you become a yeoman farmer and wear homespun clothing? Maybe. I'm not good on a loom, but I'll try.
Right.
Yeah. But also,
that loom's clean.
But these jerseys ain't going to weave themselves, you know what I mean?
That's true. That's for sure.
That's a great country song too.
These jerseys ain't gonna weave themselves, man. Hell yeah, this was for the troops.
The guy humping the shark, at least the owner of Jimmy John's is claiming it's not him.
Oh, really?
It doesn't really look like him necessarily. It's also been speculated that it is Jim McElwain, the coach of Florida football. He has denied it as well.
But the shark is like, that's definitely me.
Right. That's definitely me. And
I loved
up,
it.
Bro.
And are they going to boycott Florida football?
I doubt.
See, this is what I hate too. You have all these pictures circling. You don't know if it's even real or not.
Right.
You know? And also, like, I was looking it up and, like, I was just thinking, like, okay, so you're going to boycott all these, like, these franchises where these, like, people, like, take these loans out. You know,
right,
and
right.
Like, so they franchise the store. They're trying to make money. They have a family. They didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
Jimmy John himself, if that is his name, he only gets, I think it was 6%.
Okay, someone's skeptical. You're like, we never know, but you believe that's not his name? Okay. Anyway, go
it's
on.
It's actually Jimmy Jonathan.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
It's James Jonathan. But that's not going to sell sandwiches.
No.
But like, he only takes 6% of all these of every store.
Right.
So if you're really screwing over these franchise owners and these people that aren't rich or are just trying to have an American dream, and I don't know, it feels like you're punishing the wrong people.
Well, I think because right now too, people feel particularly powerless over like the state of things in the country and like society. So like in these weird ways, that's the way people are exercising power, and I think it's coming from the right place, but it's not necessarily the best use of it. Or the most effective use of it, and but I also understand why people are so desperate to find things to latch on to be like, yep, and that's the way I can sort of take my power back, because right now I'm looking at everything that's happening with the government or whatever, and I have to wait till November to vote.
Right.
It's like, so fucking cancel Olive Garden now then.
Yeah, right. It is. We feel powerless. That it feels like you're doing something. Oftentimes it's counterproductive. I mean, I know when when the Nike boycott happened. Nike they sold more shoes that quarter than they did.
Yeah.
The people were boycotted. So, I think the right boycotted it. So the left was like, well, screw that. We're going to buy even more and support you even more. So it actually, if they had not boycotted, Nike wouldn't have done as good.
Yeah. I think boycotts on the right are actually counterproductive for,
they typically
they
blow
make
up
the
in
brand
their face.
Look cool.
Like Gillette, the same thing too. I think.
Yeah.
Gillette
exactly.
Sold way more. It's actually a great strategy for a product to like go super left wing.
Yeah, right.
That's
stuff,
why I mean,
have the right boycott you, and then
Nike, signed Colin Kaepernick to and like made him the spokesperson of their company, probably not out of sheer altruism.
No, we definitely brought that up.
Right.
They are savvy business people.
Right, right. Yeah.
This is going to piss off Trump supporters.
The company that famously like wouldn't build a factory in Flint, Michigan. In that Michael Moore documentary.
Right.
And all of a sudden they're good people. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Huh?
What is something you think is underrated?
I think the Amish. I was thinking about it, and
go off.
No,
go
off, I just
Amish King.
I think it's underrated, and I think we kind of danced near it a second ago with the loom. is it like it's simpler? I was the no technology thing is like, for instance, I did a show the other night, and my phone's like froze up during the show, and I needed it for this thing, and I'm on the phone with this, like, when their wagon wheel breaks, they never have to be on hold with customer service for an hour trying to figure out why the wagon wheel doesn't work.
Exactly.
They just learn how
it's
to
just like,
fix
okay,
the wagon wheel.
Time to fix the fucking wheel.
Yeah. And it's simple enough. You're not like, because so many times you have everything technology like, okay, I did it. I did all the things. Why is it still not working?
You know,
and you start losing your mind. And it's like the wagon wheel, it's broken. Oh, well, it's because it's in pieces or it's on fire
It needs to be reinforced.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And
so,
I mean,
we going Amish?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, I think that would be a smart business decision for our podcast.
Just start shouting out the window. Yeah. That's the Amish podcast, just screaming at the top of your lungs.
The barn raisings are the thing that's always impressed me about the Amish, that they'll just have like everybody come to a field to build a barn in like a weekend.
Yeah.
And it'll be done by the end of the weekend. Just everybody builds it.
I mean, based on the TV show, was it Breaking Amish or whatever? It's right. Always interesting to Amish see those Mafia. People who, oh, that show's absurd and yeah, staged, but hilarious. Staged and fake. But like the people who are like leaving, it's kind of interesting when you see the people who get the itch so hard to be like, everything is like, you know, modern society has been othered so hard that like, I can't help but to go there.
Right.
But maybe we're like reverse Amishing it, where we're like, dude, I'm tired of this modern world.
Yeah.
I can't grow a beard though.
When Amish kids at 16 do their Rumspringer and like come and live in our world, our 16-year-olds should have to go live Amish.
Yeah.
For a year.
Oh, yeah.
Expose all right, it.
Reverse Rumspringer.
Anyone who lives out near Amish country, let us know. You
reverse
know?
Any Amish people listen.
Yeah, well, you know, I know people out there in Amish, you know, yeah. Rest in peace to our boy who is smoking big doinks out in Amish.
Smoking
big doinks in Amish. God. You know? So if you're out in Amish smoking big doinks, let us know.
What a fucking genius that guy was.
Rest in peace.
What guy was R.I.P. that?
It's this like just video of this dude smoking a blunt like in a cornfield, and he's like smoking big doinks in Amish, and he just keeps saying smoking, and he's like hitting this blunt. He's like, gang. At the end, it's like over. I'll show it to you
and
later.
You assume he's dead now?
No, he did die because I was. Oh, no. He became like kind of a internet celebrity meme guy, and then when he died, people were like, "The big doinks and Amish dude died."
Yeah, aww.
He had some kind of like lung complication, some kind of respiratory complication.
That's
very tragic.
That sucks because that's completely related to.
I don't know, man. I don't want to speculate because then I have to think about my own blunt smoking,
right?
You know, and then what am I gonna die from that?
I mean,
fuck no.
But you don't have a lung situation that your brand is directly undercut.
I don't have a lung situation that positive thinking can't heal.
That's right. That's what we've always said.
You can also switch to edible blunts.
Right.
You know,
just eat them.
Yeah, that's way better than if your lungs are bad.
I roll up. They're like, damn, hell yeah. I'm like,
oh, no.
Hell yeah, man. Want to twist up another one?
What is a myth? What's something people think is true? You know, true false.
Ghosts.
Okay.
Ghosts. Just get. Give me a break.
Is it are you someone who's been just led on by ghosts for so long? You're like, you know what? I tried, and I'm just done.
I'm done
with you.
It's one of these things where I don't get why people buy into it so hard or believe it. It's just, it's one of these things that just as they're telling me the story itself doesn't make sense. Have you ever heard of this? Okay, you ever heard of this? There's like, I don't know if it's like a wives' tale or a rumor. Have you ever heard the story about the person dog sitting, and the dog dies, and the family tells them, okay, well, can you put the dog in the suitcase and take it to this place and drop it off to get it dog cremated or whatever.
Right.
I've heard this story from a couple different people.
I've never heard of it. So the dog comes back to life once?
No, the dog is a giant Great Dane, or it's always this big dog. They had to put it in this big suitcase, and they had to put it in a suitcase because there was nothing else to put the dog in.
I was going
to
say, I'm like, why is there a
dog casket?
That's where it gets weird.
Yeah, and it's just like, and they take it.
Get one of those big blue IKEA bags.
Yeah, or shopping cart. Something with wheel. Yeah,
I'm just thinking of other ideas.
Yeah.
In case you don't have a big suitcase. So anyway, put the thing in the suitcase.
But every time they tell the story, they talk about how heavy this suitcase is and they're lugging it around.
Right.
And they got to take the train and take the train to the city and take it in this. And then they're on the corner and they're like trying to like figure out where they are, and somebody comes by and steals the suitcase and runs off with it.
Huh.
And every time I hear that story, it's like, if this suitcase was so heavy, how did someone just pick it up and run off with this giant suitcase?
He was a CrossFit dude.
Right.
Super strong, dude. That's how they
train. No way!
Yeah.
The story doesn't make sense.
Wait, hold on.
And this is what I feel about ghosts.
Where's the ghost part?
Is that the end of the story?
That's the end of the story. And they're like, so that person got home, opened up, and it was a giant dead dog. And it's just like, this is the dumbest story. It doesn't make sense. This is how I feel about ghosts. Every time people tell me a story about a ghost, the logic doesn't make sense at all. I've never seen a ghost in a Walgreens. People have died in Walgreens.
Yeah.
Okay, how many people have died?
A lot of people died in Magic Mountain. And I don't see a ghost when I ride Goliath.
Exactly.
That dude died on Goliath.
How come there's never ghosts on intersections? People die on the highway. There's flowers. There's those white bikes all over the place. There's all these memorials of where people have died. There's never ghosts don't like the daytime. I only ghost at night. That's so stupid. Ghosts are not like, okay, it's only come out when it's super. Ghosts only come out when it's super spooky, when nobody else is around in a place that's already like
and there's no other people to back you up.
Exactly.
Right. And the most would be like, well, that door did close suddenly. Right. Like, and like, okay.
Did it? It's
I
like
your energy, though. You have like a YouTuber who like debates people on whether ghosts exist. You're like, come at me with your ghost.
Check out the logic.
They only come out when they're spooky. Right. And they never, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
So, do ghosts really?
I just love it.
Yeah. It's the one thing I'm very passionate
about. But you have
about.
Like that, the vibe, though, of someone who kind of wants a ghost to exist, but you've been so disappointed.
I would love a ghost to exist.
To visit.
Proof of I would love a new friend in my life.
This mortal plane.
Don't we all want that, huh?
That would be great, man. So do you believe people who think they've seen ghosts, do you think they're lying or do you think they just believe they've seen a ghost?
I think they believe it, but that's what's crazy to me is that they're in a place where their mind could play tricks on them.
Right.
You know, and it's always like in an old place, you know, the idea that a ghost is walking around going, I'm gonna turn the lights off and on real quick.
Right.
You know, like that's how you're gonna ghost.
Come on, step your game up.
Right. Yeah, do put lights on a show.
Yeah.
They're always
make a basketball move crazy in air, like in a game, like someone shoots a shot, it's like whoop and it goes in the other room.
Angels in the outfield. I mean that has happened.
That is true.
In that documentary.
And The Sixth Man with Kadeem Hardison. Again, a ghost. Helps out a college basketball team.
Wow.
Oh, wait, Angels in the Outfield. Those aren't ghosts, though. Those are angels.
Right. My bad.
But
so where does that feel
like? Those definitely exist. Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong.
In the angels.
Don't fucking say something bad about angels now. Ghosts, fuck them.
I mean, how come a ghost just never grabs a bunch of, like, you're eating a bowl of cheese puffs and it just throws all the cheese puffs in your face or something?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's
like,
why...
It moved your remote control.
Maybe that happens, but people feel so stupid telling that story that they're just like, I guess I can't, like, that's not a good ghost story. So you only hear about the ones who's like, a child was, like, hovering over me when I woke up and whispered
rum. It's like, we actually all have ghost stories. We're all just too embarrassed to admit it. Like,
a ghost peed my pants.
Right.
All over them. You wouldn't believe it if I told you.
All right. Well, we've busted some myths here. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
And we're back. And just briefly up top, there's a new Joker trailer out for the new Joaquin Phoenix Joker film, directed by Todd Phillips, maker of The Hangover.
Uh-huh.
That was the thing that was like making me like... That's kind of a weird fit, you know? I don't know. He hasn't really made a serious movie. This looks very serious.
What has he made since, like, Starsky and Hutch?
The Hangover movies.
Oh, right.
But then
in my mind, I'm sorry, in my mind, I was thinking Old School.
Right.
Even though you said Hangover. I know that was, like, one of his first films.
Right. I mean, he's made some fucking classic movies. They just are all comedies. And then he's made one, like, kind of action drama, War Dogs. I think we all remember War Dogs.
Loved it.
But yeah, I don't know. It's getting a lot of good advanced buzz. It premiered at Venice and Toronto and was like at all these film festivals. People seem to like it, but you can't really trust comic book movie reviews because people fanboy out on it.
Well, you can trust them when there's a male lead.
That's true. That's
true. The female lead, it's like, I don't know what the fuck this is, man. Right. Some social justice shit. But I don't know. Joker's an interesting character.
The trailers
character.
Keep getting better, man.
The trailers, I went from being like, oh, cool, Joaquin Phoenix will be Joker, to right. this. Then another teaser came out, and I was like, go on. And now this one, I'm like, this might be fucking good.
Or yeah.
freaky, because I feel like Joaquin Phoenix is one of those actors who like has that, he's haunted enough to play the Joker. But he'd be like one of the, like an unlike Heath Ledger, like where it would affect him. I think somehow the Joker would be affected by being played by Joaquin Phoenix or something.
Right. Yeah. The Joker just can't recover from this.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, man. It's like,
that guy's fucking weird. Yeah. Dark. Yeah. It does feel like it kind of has a vibe of his performance in The Master if it was like more unhinged.
Yeah.
Like, because that performance, like he kept being like pulled back to trying to be respectable with
right.
Philip Seymour Hoffman's character, but like this, he just seems like it's like that, just untethered from anything, sort of like a Taxi Driver vibe to it almost.
With like in the opening, is he a stand-up or something? Like,
I think so.
They seem to imply that he was a stand-up. Right.
There's a bunch of stand-ups I know in the movie. I think Gary Goldman's in it.
Huh. Oh, really?
Sam Morrell was telling me he shot a thing in
oh,
it.
Nice.
I heard maybe Mark Maron, I don't know if that's for sure, but there does seem to be this interesting stand-up element in it, and it's funny because if you've ever been or done an open mic, a lot of those people remind you of somebody who becomes the Joker.
There is a yeah. very dark energy to like a bad stand-up comic at an open mic. Like it's just like that's
like the real fork in the road in life at a comedy open mic. It's like you might be a comedian
or a murderer.
Or you might be a Joker.
Right.
This is where you make that decision on this open mic stage.
I definitely have felt that there's been people that if there was not such the culture of open mic comedy, that these people would have gone to a very dark place. Because there is, thank goodness, a community, but it's so many loners and it's so many people that are very angry and then they come together and they do it for the sake of making other people laugh.
Right.
But gosh, there is some people who's... And there's definitely the people that still, despite that, you know, camaraderie, still found a way to kind of creep all the other stand-ups out.
Right.
You know, there's a couple of those guys I remember being like, whatever happened to so-and-so? And they didn't really tell jokes. They just went up stage and were very angry and yelled. And you're like, oh, man. Like,
yeah.
Louis Black is doing pretty well now.
Right.
I would love to see him as the Joker.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But I hadn't really thought about the idea of, like, failed comedian. in like just like toxic narcissism, like blocked weird. I hadn't really thought of that as like tapping into something until like you guys were talking about comedians who actually dressed up as the Joker or something.
Well,
you had seen.
Well, do you want to talk about this?
There's a guy, when I first moved to this Hollywood area that we're in right now, there was a guy that I saw dressed as the Joker. But there's a lot of characters on Hollywood.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
People dress also very dark.
I see Willy Wonka hop in an Audi TT every day after 5 o'clock.
Yeah, it's true.
Fat Batman, one of my favorite guys.
I love him.
There's 5 of them. But then I saw him at Target, and I was like, oh, I guess you stopped by Target on the way home from being the Joker. And then I saw him, like, eating somewhere, and I was like, this is not even anywhere near Hollywood Boulevard. And then I saw him like at like an open mic one time, and I was like, oh, he just wears the Joker all the time.
Yeah, well, I thought you were talking about someone I knew, because I also, like, someone I've known from my past, had not seen in years, and then randomly at a bar, this fucking dude dressed as like the Heath Ledger Joker, like, came up to me. He's like, what's up, Miles? And I looked up at him, I'm like, what's up?
Right.
And he was like, yo, it's me, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, shit. Cool. I'm like, why are you dressed like this? I'm like, are you performing? He's like, nah, man. It's just like kind of a character study. And then months later, I saw someone else, a mutual friend. I was like, yo, did you see him? Like, I saw him recently. He was dressed as a Joker. And they're like, oh, he's still doing that?
Still
doing that. And I was like, well, what do you mean? But I don't know if that's no longer the case. It may have actually been, but I don't know. I think there is just something about the character, though, that is very, very magnetic if you have a certain personality.
Yeah. In a post Aurora, Colorado society, where that guy dressed up like the Joker, went in and started shooting the place up, to dress like the Joker in other situations, it's just creepy. It's like dressing up like the Unabomber, or you're dressing up like, sort of mass murderer. I think it's pretty inappropriate, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know?
If you're not doing strict cosplay in a very defined cosplay setting, it would be very,
or
you'd be like, what's
anybody but the guy who killed everybody.
Sure.
You know, like Robin.
Right.
You know, or Penguin, you know?
But
no one dresses like the Penguin.
Yeah. It's interesting because there's a failed comedy, like somebody who see something funny about the world, but like can't communicate it with the outside world. Like, and there's like sort of a tragic element to that they really identify with this character. So
I'm starting to really get behind this character.
Yeah, dude. I think this movie's gonna be interesting.
Very angry.
That's what I'm trying. I'm just saying, man. Maybe you should start dressing as the Joker.
It would look. It'd be a weird look to have my like brown skin peeking through.
Right.
You want to like that's one cosplay. I'm like, I'll let the white people have that.
Yeah.
It'd be weird if you guys, like, later on saw, like, the Joker guy that I'm talking about, and you turn around and you're like, wait, that's Nick.
Oh, shit. And that boy was me.
Hey, there's some crazy people around here.
Nick?
Oh,
no.
Shit.
Call me Joker.
That would be amazing.
They're like, all right, dude. Well, you going to pay for your Slurpee? Or?
Why am I working at a 7-Eleven now in this story?
Oh, well, cool, Nick or Joker. Just let me get that quarter pound spicy Big Bite.
Whenever right up.
Help yourself to the free condiments.
Should we check in with the world? Oh, our president, the real Joker, in the White House. Am I right, guys? I mean,
great. Hell yeah.
Circus is really in town when that guy, Washington, D.C. Am I right?
Man, have you seen that?
What's happening under the big top?
Oh,
and
boy.
I mean, Capitol Hill, the dome there. Three rings.
Yeah, what's going on in that three-ring circus? The executive, the legislative, and the judicial branch. Hey, I'm new in town. Welcome. I don't know, man. Since last week, it's always been this simmering of like nonsense,
right?
But it's been like getting a little like I'm really having trouble following his logic paths now. Like it's really just kind of like he's flailing more than normal.
It does seem like it sort of waxes and wanes between like a high boil of insanity and just, you know, complete clusterfuckery, and then like things quiet down for a little bit. Like the people around him get a hold of him or something.
But I think now that we're like, it seems
the Adderall wears off.
Yeah.
I do wonder how much that is.
He was sweating at that G7 press conference. I thought that was you. The amount of sweat pouring out of his face. But like, it seems like the polling and the economic outlook stuff is what's really beginning to trigger him, because a lot of these things are in response to things that seem to be tangentially connected to the idea that people are like, I don't know how long this economy is going to go with these policies. And also, like, these poll numbers are not great for Trump, no matter how you cut them. Not again, because we've all learned our lesson from 2016. It's just a fucking snapshot of what people think in that fucking moment. Not, all right, time to go to bed, y'all. He's getting crushed in the polls. So recently,
oh yeah, fuck the polls.
You know, when you look at the things that he's promised, like, you know, I'm bringing the farmland back. I'm putting people back on those factory lines. We're getting coal. Fucking, we're raising coal like you've never seen. None of that shit has happened. We're building the fucking wall. He hasn't done a single thing. So now, I think of the things that he has the ability to, like, control, the wall is, like, the one thing, I guess, he feels really fixated on that he can actually deliver on.
Yeah.
And so now he's directing people to build the fucking wall no matter what by election day.
You know, one of the things that liberals need to understand as far as why people are going to continue to support him is that, what is it? He pulled out of NAFTA. Mm-hmm. You know, he got out of the Paris Accords. He got out of the Iran deal. He fulfilled a lot of these promises, and he's going to run on that. He's going to like run it into the ground. The promises he did do. The wall is like the last promise that he you know, the Obamacare thing's done. You know, he can't do anything with that.
He has to forget about that. Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to blame McCain for that forever. But the wall is like the one promise that he has to like make them feel that he's going to, like, that's why he's going to, like, continue to do this thing. You know what really kills me is the, you know, you take his lowest approval rating and his highest approval rating, and it's, what, 8%?
Yeah.
What is it? Who is this 8% of the country that just day to day is changing their mind on this guy? Like,
back on board, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey. That's what kills me. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, even when you say that, like, he may say that he made good on those promises, it's going to be tough because there's a lot of articles coming out of, like, the Farm Belt, basically, that are like, I don't know a single farmer who, like, has not been really negatively affected. Sure, some of these, like, major, like, these gigantic farms, possibly, because they're getting the subsidies, but they're like, the farming thing is really starting to weigh on just the culture of farming, too, because it's sort of like, well, you're going to have nobody to sell to, but I'll cut you a fucking check. And that's not sustainable. Yeah. And it's really, and I think there's more grumblings now that, like, he has a few groups, like truckers, too. There are a lot of truckers because of the trade slowing down. That means less stuff is moving around, that are also starting to be like, hold on, man. Like, yeah, actually, I can begin to connect the dots to why I'm working less.
Right.
And it's you. So there's going to be a balancing act, because there are some people who are just so racist, they don't care. Like, if it affects them, you know, like, whatever, their pocketbook, because they just want to see as much pain being inflicted upon, you know, marginalized people or non-whites or non-cisgendered.
Or liberals.
Or liberals.
The thing that makes them so happy is how mad liberals get at Trump. Like, that seems to be the key to his approval.
They'll keep putting up with it. That's because the farmers are getting screwed, and it's like, is that, what is it? Why are any farmers still on board?
Right.
Is it they're just, I think they love the trolling of the liberals. They'll watch their tune-ups wilt if it means that the liberals got trolled. It, you know what's funny? The only thing it seems that he is doing for the farmers is socialism.
Right.
You know, like, that's the only thing that, and so they shit on socialism or any socialist, you know, sort of policy, but then it's a socialist policy is the only thing he's doing is giving these farmers money.
To keep them from being, like, literally insolvent.
No, socialism is when AOC and Ilhan Omar do anti-Semitism.
Uh-huh.
That's socialism.
That's true.
Because I don't even know what they know. So does anyone know?
They don't know what it is. Right. They think they sell it as Venezuela, you know, it's like your schools are, you know, socialism, your highways are socialism. You know, no liberal is fighting for maybe there are some liberals that are saying it should be all socialism, and those people are not helping the whole conversation. But, you know, like, just the idea of we use socialist program.
Yeah, well, I think that's where people pick and choose, because overall they're like, well, this is capitalism. But like when you look at like, well, the way this is functioning, you may want to look at those definitions a little more clearly or closely.
Yeah.
When it comes to the wall, though, right now he wants 500 miles of wall done before Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
And he's has a lot big, beautiful of meetings,
wall?
Apparently. Big, beautiful wall like you've ever seen.
The biggest, I think.
As it stands, though, I think the military has only been able to like reinforce about 60 miles. So they got a lot of fucking work, which is why he has been telling people, aides, he's told aides, quote, not to worry about breaking the law in order to finalize contracts or using eminent domain to seize property for the structure.
Now that's where it gets. They're so like, using eminent domain means you are stealing somebody's land.
Yeah, you're like, well, I need this. So now
you're,
it's mine.
You're making somebody homeless, and the president's saying you can do that even if it's against the law because I'm going to pardon you.
Right, and that's what he said.
When seems pretty, like, that's just next level.
In this in the post article they say, when aides have suggested that some orders are illegal or unworkable, Trump has suggested he would pardon the officials if they would go ahead, aides said. He has waved off worries about contracting procedures and the use of eminent domain, saying, quote, take the land. Don't worry, I'll pardon you. And
sweep
then,
the leg, take the land.
when they were asked for comment, a White House official who wanted to remain anonymous said, "Yeah, he's joking when he makes statements about pardons." Oh, really?
Right.
Yeah. What is? When is? I just wish we had like some sort. We're working off the same, you know, set of facts right here.
Yeah,
you know, every time you hear anything, you know, it's like, well, he president says he wants to buy Greenland. Okay.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. He wants to drop. I love the drop a bomb in the hurricane thing.
And how he's denying that so fiercely.
And it's like the if you look, he's not the first person to suggest buying Greenland. He's not the first person to suggest dropping a bomb into hurricanes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes I'm like, I wouldn't mind a whimsical president. You know, like, if it wasn't for all, like, the racist stuff and, like, just destroying the environment and, like, the divisive, angry, like, just stoking the embers of fires of hate. If we had, like a liberal president, it was like, hey, man, let's try to buy Greenland. I'd be like, all right, let's check it out, you know?
Else?
Or he was like, what if we just, like, dropped a bomb in the hurricane? I'd be like, look into it. But
not a nuke, though, man. We don't want to mess up the earth. But, like, big-ass regular bombs constantly.
Right.
Yeah, that don't. Like bring a tornado of fallout
just
over
whip
to
the
Florida.
Fallout all around you.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, Marianne Williamson, I think, is your closest.
She could be somebody like that. You know,
trip of a president's like, hey, we're just gonna love ISIS to death,
right?
And that's how we're gonna do that.
Yes. Yeah.
And wish away your AIDS. And you're like, oh, are you sure about that, Marianne Williamson?
What's caused by fear?
Right.
Did you
that's when
know?
It gets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's when the good times start to get a little weird.
It's Christian Scientist stuff. Real quick, there is a poll out that might be catching his attention because it's being called a shock poll on Drudge, which we know Trump reads. It says that the top five Democrats, so that is Biden, Sanders, Warren, Harris, and Buttigieg, all beat him in a head-to-head poll by between 16 and 9 points, percentage points. So,
but we're back to polls.
We are back to polls. However, I do think that polling, and granted, we're way the fuck out, but just in terms of what would happen if the election were tomorrow, like the last Clinton-Trump poll in the 2016 election, she was up, I think, 6 points, and that was like early October before the Comey story happened. And I think people were like the New York Times and the Washington Post were saying it was like a 99% shot that she would win. But she was only up like between 2 and 6 percentage points at the end. And Nate Silver was like, no, it's like he has a 1 in 3 chance of winning. And it wouldn't be that surprising at all if he won.
When you look at like the, like, you know, third party candidates can siphon off like anywhere from like 4 to 7%.
Right.
Then that's not a good margin. 6% isn't a good margin
not
at all.
Yeah.
And we saw that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know, not that we're saying, hey, great, it's all won, but it's to really sort of keep up this enthusiasm that like, okay, like there's a very good shot to not epically fuck this up.
Yeah, that's right. But
you never know, baby.
We have a year to not epically not fuck this up. Quinnipiac, in kind of taking a look at the numbers and carving the polling up a little bit, is saying that the main difference between Trump support these days and back during the 2016 election is that he has completely lost white women. White women actually voted in support of him, and now he's basically losing by double digits in every scenario with white women.
Come on, white women. Come on home.
Well, I definitely don't believe that he's gaining. I feel like he's lost more than he's gained. I can't imagine anyone who was anti-Trump in the beginning who's just like, you know what? I don't know.
this guy won me over.
He's actually skeptical. Racist. I thought he was going to be racist enough. I'm in.
I think the Biden numbers are, I don't know, we're not exactly talking about this, but like, I think it's going to be interesting how the numbers change as the field gets whittled down. I don't think Biden gains anybody else. I think the other people, Highlander style, like, you know, or there could be all the non-Biden people will always go, once their person's eliminated, they will just go to the other non-Biden person. Because there's not a lot of centrists left of like the core.
Barely. I mean, Buttigieg, I think. And Harris are like the closest thing.
Yeah, and I guess maybe if it gets down to, yeah, maybe there's some people that are Buttigieg and Kamala that like go to Biden because Sanders and Warren are too left.
Yeah,
it might be
too left for them. But yeah, well, I think again that's been the whole Biden sort of battle cry. It's like, I'm the guy with the best poll numbers.
Right.
It's like, that's not enough, really. Right. Like we're in a really terrible situation in this country. Like, I get that you have the best poll numbers, but like,
right.
Offer a fucking vision of what the country's going to be rather than being like, my son tragically passed away, so I would never repeal Obamacare, which is like the crux of like this new ad he's doing.
Yeah, it just feels very much old school politics, like the politics that used to, like Clinton era politics.
Yeah, well, the economies and the situation with people's incomes are just too unpredictable right now. And people are really starting to look at like, hold on, man. Like, especially when you look at for millennials too, we were fucked by that last recession. We entered a wasteland of a job market. We're not able to regain any of that wealth during the recovery. And we're like 10% behind in everything. I think like in net worth, we're something like 20% behind, like Gen X or whatever.
Yeah.
Like millennials really need to also realize there a lot has to be done if we even want to think that there's a future that is actually like worth living in this country, like based on the kind of wealth we can accumulate. Because we may just be the generation that's like waiting for our parents to just give us stuff that they accumulated because the economy just wasn't robust enough for us to, you know, gain any assets.
Right.
And that's outlook's even bleaker for Gen Z.
Oh, yeah. So, and I would not count on baby boomers leaving anything for you because they're the like most selfish, least.
No, but I mean, like when you look at like some millennials who are still still dependent on their parents.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I'm saying in that sense, like there are people who, if they're fortunate enough that their parents are able to support them or whatever.
Right.
That's been a form of income for people in this generation, which is very different.
I'm just saying it's a bad situation when you're depending on the people who were so good at planning for the future that they created global warming.
Dope. Oops.
Whoops.
Amazon's on fire.
Not my dad. Oops. My mom didn't do that though. My mom's cool.
No, I'm talking about everyone besides my mom. The parents of the people in this room.
Yeah. and also the boomers who listen to the show. Shout out to Zeitgang boomers. You were the good ones who also chime in. They're like, we're not all bad. I'm like, you're right.
Yeah, no, it's definitely true. When you're speaking about generations, you have to understand that there's going to be exceptions. That's a lot of people. All right, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible, no hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
And we're back. And Aunt Becky is back in the news. Lori Loughlin.
Yeah.
And her husband.
Yeah. Which is how Mossimo.
I love how they refer to her as Lori Loughlin and her husband. That is one victory for...
Dude, just say Aunt Becky and the dude
who made Mossimo
surfwear.
I like calling him Uncle Becky.
Right.
Yeah. Nice.
Aunt and Uncle Becky.
Operation Varsity Blues is, you know, still rolling on. But there's been... We haven't checked in with her, and there's been a few things we haven't talked about. A is that she's been saying that a lot of her friends haven't been calling anymore, kind of keeping their distance from her. And also, the friends that are around her have been talking shit to the tabloids, saying she's obsessed with the case and has been pouring over document, as if something is, like, she's going to beautiful mind, like, reveal, like, a thing that makes it so that she didn't actually pay $500,000 in bribes to have their two daughters designated as USC rowing team recruits. Because those are the facts. And so now they're in court because they're going to have to go to trial because they didn't fucking take a plea deal like everyone else did, or most people didn't, because they were like, yeah, you got us. Oops.
Right.
They're just like, nope, we won't do it. We're going to fight the case.
And you didn't catch us.
Exactly.
None of this is happening.
And they went into this hearing. They're saying there's a lot of conflict of interest stuff they suspect, or the prosecution was raising about their legal team, because their legal defense team represented USC in a very separate case. But the firm has been like, nah, that's not going to be an issue. And then they're like, well, why are the both of you guys represented by the same lawyer, like the same legal team? Like, that's just not good for you.
Right.
Like, that's not a good strategy. And the judge literally had to make sure they were not on drugs.
Oh, really?
To know that, like, you guys are aware that the two of you are sharing, you know, your defense team. And that
he
is not
tested them.
No, just asking, like, you're not on medication. You're not on drugs. That would prohibit you from understanding the decision you're making right now. And they're like, no, because the whole thing is, like, the judge even said, they said, having an attorney who is working for you and you alone is one of the best ways to have a good defense.
Right.
And they're like, no, because the whole thing was, you know,
one of the defenses, because they're both implicated in this, could be that one of them was hiding something from the other person. So they're saying maybe that's why I'm less on the hook for this, because I don't know if Massimo didn't tell me that the guy was a briber or whatever. But if that's the case, they're not going to be able to use that evidence to help one of the other clients out, because it's a shared legal defense. So they're just saying like, okay,
we're going to go down together, basically.
Yeah, they're like, fuck it. Exactly. And so the judge again was being like, okay, so you're sure? They said yes. And their whole defense, from what it sounds like, as people describe it, very Nixonian in fashion, where they're going to force the prosecutors to prove that they 100% knew that the mastermind of this whole thing, this guy Rick Singer, was like the guy, like that, what he was really up to, and wasn't just some really cool consultant who could get your kids into college for $500,000.
Right.
Man, they don't sound very bright, and it sounds like they need to bribe themselves back into college and learn.
Yeah.
Learn how to be smarter.
I don't doubt that they didn't know that they were breaking.
How could you fucking think that you could?
Right.
You know, like, or how could you not know? The guy, I mean, sure, maybe the guy's using language that isn't explicitly like, give me $500,000, I'm going to give it to USC, and then your kids will get in as recruits.
Right.
But when you just look at the proposition, which is $500,000 to turn my, like, you know, vapid YouTuber daughter and the other one who I'm not sure what her deal is, right, like, into suddenly, like, rowing recruits.
Yeah.
Is a very odd, like, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds like on the level.
Right.
But I don't know. I guess that would be their defense. Like,
I get, yeah, the rowing recruits thing. Like, if they knew, and they did know detailed stuff about that, right?
They had to take photos.
Yeah,
I mean, it seemed like a lot of the evidence was the thing that really made it clear that these people all knew, was when they're like, okay, I need some information so we can make your child look like this thing they are not.
Right.
Because this is like the elite stuff that the country hates, that these rich people just get to, like, because she took a spot from a kid in college, right?
Yes.
You know, like a kid who, like, did want to go to college, that worked hard. You have this influencer society that's disgusting. I would love, there's some sort of poetic justice of, like, that her stupid Instagram videos and posts wind up bringing them down.
Right.
Like, her being like, my parents want me to go, and they're like, I hate rowing. I've never even been in a boat. You know?
Exactly. Like, they find all these DMs on Instagram. They're like, they're like, I can't go to the party. My mom has to get, like, I have to look like a regatta person tomorrow.
Right.
For a fake college scam.
Yeah.
Something
I can't, like, I can't believe my mom is bribing USC to convince them I'm a rowing recruit just so I can get in because my grades are not good enough, and otherwise on paper I'm a completely I'm not a viable candidate to enter the school. I mean, that would be the thing, but I think everything else points to the fact that they knew, but that is a hell of a defense to be like, I don't know.
I bet they didn't know, like, didn't realize it, and that's an indictment of, like, what it's like to be a rich person in America, that you can just, that everything is just like
for sale.
Yeah, no, they'll do it for us for free because we're rich. Like, yeah, we get everything we want for free. But, like, that's just the whole system. Once you're really, really rich, like, you just, people start throwing free shit at you, and you're just like, yeah, of course. Like,
I think rather than the way it works, going to prison, they should make the both of them get teaching credentials and have to teach.
teach at public schools. Oh, God.
And, like, really get their shit together so they can, I think that's, they need an experience.
But then we'd have to watch the movie that was like Dangerous Minds, starring her as herself.
It's more of a comedy. It's like, she was a high flying actress. Right. So one mistake sent her back to school.
I just love the defense of ignorance, you know, of just like, you bought drugs in the street. No, this guy was a consultant for my depression.
Right.
Yeah. He said that if I just breathed in the smoke from this here rock,
if I just do a line of this antidepressant, I'll be good.
And he said it was all herbal. It was all, you know.
Well, that's what shows you, man. It's just a hell of a drug at that level where you really think, I mean, like, everything's buyable, influences, everything's a transaction, nothing is about merit, it's just about your outsized power.
And this defense is all about them refusing to leave that bubble. Just being like,
again,
how anybody would have made this mistake. It's like, no.
Hold on, I'm really getting in trouble for this?
Right.
Really? Because this is how it works out here.
Right.
It's like, yeah, but that's outside of the
like legal structure.
Out here is inside a very small bubble that you live in, and that is not reality.
Meanwhile, Felicity Huffman, who did take a plea deal, you know, they're saying at most she could get 4 months, but they don't even think she'll even see a prison at all.
Right, because she was like, oh, yeah, our bad. We fucked up. That was terrible. Yeah,
that was a terrible idea. Right. And I'm so ashamed. Yeah, then meanwhile, you have the cocky twins over here who are like, no, we didn't know.
I mean, when you see just like a video from the daughter that they got into USC, she's a young person, so I'm not gonna, but it's just like that.
This person was not interested in college.
Right. And to put it lightly. Like the world that allows that sort of mindset to exist has to be really fucked up.
Well, yeah, I mean, I grew up with a lot of kids like that in LA who are basically defanged by their parents' like wealth.
Yeah.
Like they just have never had to think independently, do these other things because their wealth they were around just, it's a completely developmental world you're in at that point.
Yeah.
And I think for some, yeah, like you see kids like that, and I'm like, I guess I have to go to college, but I don't know. Like my parents, like they're like loaded. Like I can just go, I can just live in Saint-Tropez if I wanted.
Right.
But
they can fund my Instagram career.
Yeah. And you just see, cut to now when we're in our 30s and they're flailing as adults. Like they just don't, like they're realizing now, they're like, oh my God, it was fine when I was in my 20s and like didn't have a care in the world. But like, starting to like think about having a future or a family and realizing you have no job skills or life skills. Like there's a few who I think are in not good shape.
That's assuming that you don't consider dressing up as the Joker and doing open mic nights a life skill.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
This is actually an authentic costume. So.
This is not
some bad costume.
Speaking of herbal remedies, guys, KFC has been teasing a plant-based alternative to their chicken. And chicken is just storming the zeitgeist in the past couple weeks because this went huge in Atlanta.
In Atlanta, it was, they said, first of all, they're offering Beyond Meat created nuggets and boneless wings. The first thing I want to ask is, are those not the same fucking thing?
Nuggets versus boneless wings.
I mean, I get that the process, if it were chicken, a nugget is clearly just that pink goo they cut into shapes and then fry. And then a boneless wing
isn't typically necessarily like a chunk fried, right?
It's like flesh. Right. Well, I think it can be.
Right.
But it's more of it's like chicken flesh versus the goo that they fry.
Okay.
But then I'm saying at this point when it's Beyond Meat, I feel like it's essentially the same thing, just in different shapes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Look. I need my Beyond Meat to be breaded.
Yeah, and also, chicken. Look, I just don't, boneless wings are an abomination. My book is all flats all day. Thank you. You already know my position on that.
I do.
So in Atlanta, they were crowds gathering at 8 a.m. to get this new nuggie, okay? And throughout the day, they say the dine-in line wrapped around the building with double looped drive-through lines. Damn. I don't even know what that is, but that sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah,
like crisis actors. This sounds like crisis.
Yeah, this is a false flag attack against Big Chicken.
Who's lining up for not real chicken?
Well, this
Atlanta?
Is the thing, because I think it's just a lot of people. The whole sort of plant-based like options at fast food been doing really well. Which is interesting.
I could see it in California or the West Coast. That sounds
Atlanta's
like a West Coast thing.
Atlanta's pretty liberal, like in certain spots too.
Yeah, but I feel like I feel like there's a resistance of like Midwest and South of like,
but not
you know,
among
like,
young
like
people.
We like real meat.
Right.
We like barbecue. We like, you know, real chicken and stuff. And to be that excited in Atlanta about.
To be honest, though, I feel like because most chicken nuggets are so processed, in my mind, it was never chicken. Chicken nugget is its own category.
There's more meat now than there ever was.
Yeah, suddenly, like I feel like that one actually might work as a thing where no one's going to be like, I can't even taste the goo in this. Because you can never taste the chicken in a fucking nugget. It was just about the seasoning, basically,
in the
fry.
And the sauces.
But they said this test was so successful. They said in 5 hours, guests purchased the same amount of fried chicken that they would are like of in terms of like the popcorn chicken that they would sell, 5 hours of what they would normally do in a week.
Damn. I think this is like probably an underrated like market. Capitalistically speaking, this is going to be a huge wave coming. There's this global data poll that found that a full 70% of the population at large is reducing meat consumption or leaving meet behind all together. And it's really driven by millennials, like, as you know, they're becoming adults and making their own purchasing decisions. It's becoming just more and more of the population is now either going full like vegan or vegetarian, or at least mindful. Just wanting to, like, now there's the thing of like, I'm a weekday vegetarian, or, you know, weekday vegan.
Not to step on a story we might do, talk about, but like, you know, the whole Amazon thing, you know, it's like the Amazon's on fire,
right?
And it's just like, you know, what? Oh, I can't believe it. Then you read into it, and they're clearing land for cattle.
Yeah.
And so it's like everyone's just, you know, this, you know, we talk about the boycotts and stuff like that. Like, if you, everyone's like so upset and being like, you know, screw us as humans. But like, how many people are genuinely being like, okay, I'm gonna like not eat meat for a whole month. And if we all did that, like, maybe there wouldn't be this motivation to clear so much Amazon forest out of the way.
Sure.
I certainly have not. I've been complaining about the Amazon, and I have not adjusted my meat consumption at all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? I don't know. I mean, that is, like, it seems like a very real, effective thing for this Beyond Meat and stuff to
be. Yeah, well, and it's also, like, it's a direct thing you can do that you can at least feel like it's like some of the lowest hanging fruit in terms of being like, okay, I can sort of reduce my impact if I am eating differently.
Yeah.
That is something you have control of, but you know.
Yeah. And somehow McDonald's is sleeping on this, because Burger King got the Beyond Burgers. They got the Beyond Whopper.
Yeah.
And they're rolling
that out. Well,
isn't
McDonald's one of the biggest purchasers of beef?
Yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah.
So like,
yeah.
I'm wondering what that profit-based balances where they have to figure out how they, you know, throttle that down and bring this other shit online.
I'm just worried about them is all.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, thoughts and prayers to McDonald's for sure.
I think Beyond and Impossible might be in like some sort of bidding war right now for McDonald's. And
right.
Whoever lands that is going to like
those salespeople are getting Ronald McDonald fucked up at sales.
Yeah.
They're like, hey man, you want to do should I get another 8-ball, dude? We're good. All right, man. Got dancers coming up to the suite later, so you know.
But I mean, the meat in a McDonald's hamburger, like the Big Mac is not about meat quality. Like the Big Mac is going to be just as good with like a Beyond.
That's
probably better.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like with nuggets, like I never thought it was chicken. Right. Like it could have been plant-based the whole fucking time. Yeah. I wouldn't have known, because to me, it's not what in my mind go, oh, that's chicky.
Right.
And the burgers, like when you look at a fucking patty, you're like,
yeah.
Is this meat? Right. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like Taco Bell could get away with that shit too. This shit is like fucking not
easily get
the
away
ground beef. For real?
That's been horse for years.
Yeah.
It's fucking old toenails and all.
The difference is we will have to confront the reality of what it tastes when that isn't like sawdust and like meat flavoring.
Mm.
Can we get Joaquin Phoenix to play Ronald McDonald at some point?
I think that'd be shit.
Yeah.
Amazing movie.
Popeyes, meanwhile, I mean, something that we're seeing now with these test marketing things where they become huge global phenomenons due to social media is that the workers are kind of, it's not great for them. They go like being a, you know, they're staffed like a middling fast food restaurant. And then suddenly it's like, you know, they're working at an Apple store on iPhone drop day. Like it's
right.
Yeah. People are talking about feeling like, one 18-year-old said, I was working like a slave in the back, prepping the buns with pickles and the spicy mayo. And another person said everyone wanted to quit so bad because it was that bad. Jeez. We have never seen it get this insanely busy. Wow. So, yeah, I mean, it's just
you one need person to made 600 sandwiches during their shift.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, we got in before it got really, really crazy. And
yeah, we're Popeye's hipsters,
right? We're Popeye's hipsters. Like we were into it kind of before
the buzz, like we already knew, like we were kind of like onto the next thing already. We were on we were on to KFC nuggets already.
Oh, you guys still like the Popeye's chicken sandwich?
Boy.
Oh wow. It was already a little bit busy and you could tell it was they were doing a great job though. Great job to the Popeye's crew. And then real quick, Netflix has a movie coming out called The Irishman, the new Martin Scorsese mafia hitman movie. It's about the hitman who allegedly killed Jimmy Hoffa. And
I thought he was alive.
Hoffa?
Yeah.
You're thinking of Hove.
No. Wasn't there a conspiracy theory that Jimmy Hoffa wasn't dead?
Yeah, I think Yeah. Well, because people don't know where his body is.
Right, right, right.
So there's a theory that he's various people.
He assumed other people?
Yeah, that he became...
Oh, okay, that's when it gets real cool.
Matthew McConaughey, I think, was one I heard.
All right.
So this is being put out by... Like, it's been kind of a legendary production in Hollywood because nobody could fund it, because what he wanted to do is... You know, have Al Pacino and Robert De Niro in it, but then they're playing characters. Like, there's a lot of flashbacks, so you're seeing them as young men, so they have to like de-age them. So people are like, this is like a prestige Oscar movie, but it's gonna end up costing like $200 million.
Oh, because of all the digitized
de-aging, all that stuff, making Al Pacino look like he's tall. Miles, you were showing us actually a picture of De Niro, I guess, is playing a tall character because he is in some lifts.
Like Frankenstein is in the mob. Yeah. The same kind of shoe.
Right. Yeah. He looks like Louis the 14th a little bit with those big old
chunky lifts.
Heels. So nobody was going to make this movie for the studio system because it wasn't going to make its money back.
Oh, because they knew up front, it's like a bulk of the budget has to go into making these septuagenarians look younger again.
Right. But Netflix, because their model is more like getting their name in the news and seeming indispensable, stepped in and they funded it. It did end up costing, I think, $160 million, and that's not even taking marketing into account. After marketing and distribution, it would have to make around $400 to $450 million to break even. But with Netflix, they don't have to make back a specific dollar amount. They just need to kind of bolster their image as a necessary commodity. But they just took a hit because they are trying to get like a wide release, like a standard, like big movie that releases in thousands of theaters, and theater chains have denied them that right because they didn't want to leave it in theaters alone without going to Netflix for the requisite. I think it's 3 months is what theaters demand before it starts appearing elsewhere.
Oh, so like with Roma, that's why I was very limited.
Right.
Because it was just like the theaters that were like, yeah, this is a good film and we'll put it there. But right. Other ones are just stonewalling.
Like AMC and the big theater chains, they're just
a policy.
If you hold this back for the standard 2 to 3 months, then people are going to feel like they have to.
Business.
Right. And I mean, they're kind of right. Like, I think it probably suppresses business if you're I can watch this on Netflix in a week.
I pay already for it, though, too.
Like, I knew that from the start about Roma and ended up watching it at home.
Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they just keep it in the standard release?
I don't know.
They want it to feel like, I think Netflix wants to feel like a movie studio, and so they're also releasing 12 other movies that are, or I guess 10 other movies that are all like Oscar prestige movies this year alone, just to try and become like win an Oscar essentially.
So put them in the theaters and play. I don't understand why they won't like do what the theaters want.
Right. You know? Why won't they leave it in theaters for a longer period of time? Because they're stubborn and they're like, no, we're doing this for our streaming service.
Yeah. It's also so funny because it's like if Blockbuster started making movies.
Right.
You know, if Blockbuster was just like, why don't we just make these? Like some like guys.
Hey,
like,
we know something about movies.
Right. That guy behind the counter just I'm better than all these these directors.
The problem with Pulp Fiction actually is, it's like, all right, that's our VP of development.
Right.
But that's sort of the thing where they're butting up against their position as a disruptor in the film industry. And then you're kind of seeing them sort of butting up against the established powers. Like, well, you need the theaters. And the theaters and the traditional studios kind of get, this is how you do business. And I think they're like, this is how, if you want to fuck around and be like the other guys, then you got to follow the rules. And I think that's what Netflix is like, fuck you guys.
Right.
Which I don't know if that's going to be to their detriment or not, but
We're Netflix, bro.
I don't know.
We're deficit spending like the world's fucking ending.
I know. I don't get every time you hear like Twitter and Netflix are these like, you know, super popular things, and you hear that they don't make any money at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they lose money. I hear Netflix loses. I don't get
billions.
Yeah, I don't get how it sustains itself.
Well, it's just enough to keep growing their subscriber base, and then eventually become so big that it'll force like Google or Apple, like they just want to get so big that someone's gonna have to buy them,
right? Huh. That's kind of,
yeah.
At least so, that's what I, every time I ask somebody who like does business, I'm like, what is their end game? They're like, they're just trying to dominate everything and
just have Amazon absorb them and
become, or someone, yeah, be like, okay, we'll buy you now.
Wow,
but that's a, you know,
they're we'll also see. one of their other Oscar bid movies is in the zeitgeist right now. The King, have you seen
Timothée Chalamet?
Yeah, Timothée Chalamet and Robert Pattinson with like long hair, looking hot.
His bowl cut, looks pretty solid.
Yeah.
Is this a thirst trap?
Yes.
Is it?
That's what people were saying.
I think it's an article. They were? Like, yeah. Is so-and-so picture a thirst trap?
Of him with the bowl cut?
Yeah.
Long hair.
Oh, fuck hair? Twitter. Yeah.
Wow. Those fighting words.
I hate Twitter sometimes, you know.
You got to look at it when you need it.
Right. I just love the idea of like a thirst trap. It's just like, oh, I'm going to look at this. Oh, no, it's an attractive person. I got trapped.
Oh, no, here I am masturbating at work.
Damn it.
They got me.
They got me again.
Guys, I'm going to go see if this bird scooter I left around the corner is there still.
What? Nick, it's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much.
Where can people find you and follow you?
Well, the big thing is we got a new podcast that just dropped this week. Get Rich Nick, me and Nick Turner. I believe you guys have had Turner on.
Beautiful
before.
Singing voice.
He's he has a song like a siren,
mm-hmm.
a police siren. but we it's called Get Rich Nick. Each week we try to find a way to make money. We did donating plasma the first week, and then next week we go to the horse track.
Nice. Hell yeah.
But you can find that anywhere. And yeah.
You need a guy for the horse track?
Yeah. Well, we win already, but I'm always down to go again.
I know a few people who like are, they just know how to pick horses. This one guy I met, his name's Tom Sawyer.
Yeah.
He's this old guy. He has a golden horseshoe ring and like,
oh, wow.
Like sees the Matrix at horse races at Santa Anita. And then this other kid I know who like sort of got pulled into that same world. He's like trying to create like a full on algorithm, like a system to pick horses. And it's actually kind of getting good.
There's this story we kind of touched on, but it's like in Hong Kong, there was this guy who figured out system. And it became so easy for him to pick horses because, you know, at the horse track, they have the odds, and the odds are all these factors that they put in. If you listen to these guys talk about it, he's like, this is a horse that's good on a wet track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he has 3 days of rest, that's where he's really firing all cylinders.
Right.
But then this guy figured out factors outside of what the racetrack factors in, and he like it became so easy for him to win. There's this story of him like winning like the biggest jackpot you can win in this one race, and he just threw it in a safe and never cashed it.
Love it.
I guess if you don't cash checks, the Hong Kong government gives it to charity or something like that. Because I think the Hong Kong government runs the gambling thing or something like that. But yeah, there is like these crazy
systems.
Yeah.
I've always said the Hong Kong government's fucking lit.
Litty, dude.
Yeah.
They're the good ones and the China one's the bad one?
Yeah, I think that's
Is that
right.
what it is?
Yeah.
I gotta read it.
It's all about if you're pro-democracy or not.
Is Hong Kong government's pro-democracy?
Well, you know, it's...
It depends on which...
It's a mixture because there's a chief executive that Beijing has to approve. So typically the chief executive is someone that isn't really a direct threat to Beijing.
Okay.
So that person is sort of, you know, they say it's a group of people that pick, but typically it's someone that is Beijing approved. And then they have a legislative council that people vote on, like of the 70 seats, they vote on 40 or 30.
Okay.
And then the other seats are picked by like pro-biz, like each industry gets a seat in like the Congress, basically.
Whoa.
And so each industry basically puts a pro-China person in there because of business. So it's very...
And that's a better system than China.
Yeah.
And that's how bad China is.
Well, they
China
also...
Will
I mean,
just take you to China and make you disappear. if you do something.
Right. Like, obviously, they enjoy a little more freedom to sort of speak freely about their feelings about government versus, like, in the mainland. Like, it's just unheard of.
Right.
And, you know, like, I have friends who are teaching there or have taught there. And, like, their texts, if you ever ask them, like, what's going on in China? They'll, like, they just be like, oh, it's chill. And then when they get back, they're like, I can't like communicate like that on my phone.
Or
wow. I would never do that. Yeah. Like, I'll talk to you in person.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not leaving a paper trail.
Mm. Oof. Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, Paul Britton had a tweet the other day. It was something about wanting to design socks for toes.
And, for toes?
Yeah.
Just individual socks for toes? Yeah,
individual socks for toes.
That's a good idea.
That was a very funny image.
In conflict with
me.
My business. With toe beanies.
Toe beanies.
Oh, toe beanies, really? Yeah.
Shit. How far along is he with that patent?
It might only be as far as the tweet, maybe you guys could hook up and have line of toe-oriented.
Actually, I do need investors because I'm currently upside down on this thing.
Yeah, Miles has sunk a couple mil into this thing. If your toes are cold.
I want to see the ads, like the Netflix of of toe wear. Yeah. Disrupting the feet industry.
Hold on, I like that, man. Let's talk after this.
Oh, sounds good.
Miles, where can people find you? And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A tweet I like is from Dana Donnelly at Dana Donnelly, D-O-N-L-Y. I like a lot of her tweets. We have to have her on the show soon. So depressing when people from your high school get married and have kids. Like, they don't even know that you can move to LA and date 40-year-old comedians who only have enough money on their EBT card to buy a post-sex snack for themselves. Boom.
Boom.
Man, if you've had EBT, oof.
What is EBT?
Come on, man. You balling that hard? Like unemployment?
Oh.
Get that unemployment card?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Jack just showed his ass.
I also think it's funny that I'm at the age now where I'm a punchline. Right.
As a 40-year-old
comedian. I'm the worst type of person you'd ever want to
like. As the listeners will see, we're in your ballin'-ass hotel suite right now.
That's right.
And you said we're cool with getting room service?
Yeah, put it on my EBT card.
Get rich,
put it on my EBT card. Couple tweets I've enjoyed. Rocket at Tweets by Rocket tweeted, me, I'm terrified of vowels. Therapist, why? Me, only sometimes.
Wow.
It's a thinker. Steph McCann tweeted, professionally, I'd love for what happened to cauliflower to happen to me. And Paul F. Tompkins tweeted a screen cap of like enter a new password below, and he has like one letter in, and below it the box says very weak, please enter a stronger password. And he wrote, god damn, give me 2 seconds. It's like, fuck off, man.
I saw Hannibal Buress do this the other day, but it was where you like sign your name, you know, when you go to Starbucks and they twist the pad around to sign your name.
Yeah.
And he had just like kind of colored in the entire.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That killed
That's
me.
Pretty funny. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we going to ride out on today?
Riding out on Joe Armin Jones, who's an artist I've just recently started listening to, and the track is called Almost Went Too Far. Has a very retro-y vibe, again, just like yesterday's song. Smooth, easy, great groove, some nice synths, but you know, just to just relax, you know, there's so much going on. Let's just
you're gonna tunes. Use the song that's been playing over and over in this hotel suite while we're prepping. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we will talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.